Welcome. Thank you so much for tuning in to one of our Abundant Life Worship Center podcasts. You're going to be hearing an edited message from one of our sermon series called Be Transformed. Just pray that you're blessed as you listen to this. Enjoy. We're going to talk about God's transforming power and also what is our part in His transforming. So let's look at our key verse. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. And I'm actually reading it out of the Passion's Translation. It says this: Beloved friends, what should be your proper response to God's marvelous mercies? I encourage you to surrender yourself to God to be His sacred living sacrifices and live in holiness, experiencing all that delights His heart. For this becomes your genuine expression of worship. Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in His eyes. So that is kind of our core verse, talking about that we are to be transformed by renewing our mind. Everybody say renew. To renew means to be made new again, okay? So Christ has come to make us new, and we've looked at a couple of different things over the last few weeks. And a couple weeks ago, we looked at the fact that Christ came to transform us so that we could be like Him. When we talk about transformation, it means we're being changed from something to something else. Something else greater. And I said this to you before, you're changed from the old you. He said it was like being dead and coming alive. Okay? You're changed from the old you to a new you, and the new you is going to look something like Christ. Okay? But we're still going to know it's you. All right? And of course, we use the example of the Transformer movies. In the Transformer movie, the Bumblebee, you knew it was the Bumblebee, but it looked totally different. It was way more powerful, way more cooler. And so I like to tell people, when you're a Christian, you are more cool, okay? Being a Christian is cool. Look at someone and say, being a Christian is cool. Nobody thinks so. They're like, I'm not saying that. If you think being a Christian is something to be ashamed of, then you're missing the point. If you think being a Christian is something you don't want to talk about, did you know that God's word said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you? When I talk to my Father, I think being a Christian is the most awesome thing there is. When you're a Christian, you have power that no one else has because you have the Holy Spirit living in you. When you're a Christian, you have the ability to go to the creator of this entire universe and ask for whatever you need, and He says, I'll give you whatever you ask. That is awesome. Don't tell me not being a Christian is better. I know I heard someone say who wasn't a Christian, well, yeah, but I have more fun than you. Because I can do whatever I want. I found out people who do whatever they want, the fun doesn't last very long. And I've often thought, well, what's so fun about being hungover and puking in the toilet? I don't see the fun in that. What's the fun of getting AIDS or some other disease? Yeah, I don't see the fun in that. What is your definition of fun? My definition of fun, excitement, amazement is serving the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, walking a path of life that is amazing, that will blow your mind. Serving a God who said to you and I want to do above and beyond anything you can even ask or think. Now that's fun. Think of anything you can ask or think, He wants to do more. No. Yeah. He said the only reason that he won't answer something that you've asked for is if you're just asking it to consume it on your own lusts, you know, to make yourself look good or just to please yourself. That's the only reason he said he wouldn't ask, or he wouldn't answer. Otherwise, he says, I want to do more than you can imagine, because he's that good. We serve a good God. If you're a Christian and you're living all just, oh, I wish I could go do those things, you're missing the point. You got something so much greater. How about if you're walking the Christian walk God's called for you, there's going to be people on the outside wishing they could do what you do. I wish I could pray for someone and see them healed. That's what they're going to be saying to you. I wish I could pray and hear God give me direction for business or for my schooling or for my life. I got no direction. That's what they're saying. I need you to understand something here tonight. What you have is amazing. And if you don't know it yet, you need to get into this. You need to start practicing. You need to start walking. You need to be transformed. Because maybe you just asked him to forgive your sins and you've gone no further. If he's forgiven your sins, now you need to say, Lord, transform me into what you want. And the funny thing is, those Transformer movies, they're transformed and they're trying to save the world. Did you ever notice that? They're saving the world from aliens or, you know, whatever it is. You and I have been transformed to save the world. He said, go into all the world and make disciples. Oh, you really are a transformer, transformed. I don't know. You know, I don't just think this stuff and I actually live it. I get to live it. I get to see people healed instantly. I get to have people come and want prayer for this. My wife and I can counsel and talk with them and they can be healed instantly. I heard a story this week, and you're right, I haven't got to my notes yet, but I heard a story this week. One of our congregants was at a prayer time on Friday, and she said, you know, back home, and she was from India, she said, back home years ago there was an evangelist lady, and she said, you know, her son was born, and he was mentally retarded. Like extremely mentally retarded. And she prayed for him every day, and she said, God is healing him. God is healing him. And of course, everybody else looking on thought, okay, sure he is. She said, the son now is a neurosurgeon. That means God healed him. Because God does answer prayer. God does do the impossible. The God you and I serve can do anything, and he wants to do it through you and I. You and I, if we allow him to transform us, can change our world. But we can't do it if we try to stay as our old self. But if you allow him to transform you, you can change the world. Jesus had 12 close disciples and a number of others beyond. But with those disciples, it says that they turned the world upside down. The then known world, they turned it upside down. How come you and I can't? We can. We can turn the world upside down. You and I. But you have to believe it. Ivy believes it. It is cool. But it's funny, when I say that, some of you are like, yeah, you go, Dan. I got work in the morning, or I got school. Yeah, go for it. I said you and I, because no one person does it alone. No one person can see their community changed. It's you and I and Christ. transformed person can change their world. We talked about in a recent message that Christ transformed us from being sinners to being righteous. From living in sin to living righteous, and I'm not going to go back to that this week, but I do want to read one verse for you, and then we will continue on. John 8, chapter 31 and 36. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, then you are my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And they answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham. We have never been enslaved to anyone. How do you say you'll become free?" And Jesus answered them, "Truly I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." And we did an entire message about that. Can I say this? As a transformed Christian, you do not need to be stuck in sin. Never, 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 never. I think we sang a song tonight about that. There's power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, break every chain. That's what the song's singing about, being set free from sin. Today, we want to look at this topic. And we are looking at being transformed from being proud to being humble. Okay? So you're transformed from something to something. It'll be from your old self to something like Christ. So whenever you're talking about, well, how are we going to look when we're transformed? Should be like Christ. Christ was humble. In Philippians 2, verse 5 and 11. Philippians 2, verse 5 to 11, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Jesus was God in the flesh, and he humbled himself. So I want to talk today about being transformed from being proud to being humble. And we're going to look at this, and I'm going to help you understand, well, how would I know if I'm being proud or not? We'll just give you a couple things on that, and we'll help you out. So the first thing I want to say about pride is this. Pride is the doorway to sin, and it will destroy you. I'm going to show you from Scripture. Pride is the doorway to sin, and it will destroy you. It's that simple, easy. Let me give you some verses so you know where I got that from. Isaiah 14, verse 12 to 15. Isaiah 14, verse 12 to 15 is talking about Lucifer. And you know Lucifer is another name for Satan. And it says this about him. It says, "How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground? You who weakened the nations, for you have said in your heart, 'I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High.' Yet you will be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit." And we know Jesus in Luke chapter 10, 18 said, "I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven." We also read in our Bibles that it says that Satan was cast out and he took a third of the angels with him. Pride. Did you notice when we read that how many times it said, I. The sure sign of pride is if everything is about I, me. That's a sure sign of pride. And of course, the devil thought he would be higher than God and found out otherwise. But yet, he decided that he would take God's creation and try and do the same thing to them. And in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1 to 6, we can read how Satan, through the serpent, tricked man into walking in pride. Let's read it, and I'll show you. It says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, 'Did God actually say you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But God said, you shall not eat the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You won't die, you won't surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was delightful to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate." You need to see what was happening in this picture. Satan, the father of all lies, the great deceiver, is talking to Eve, and it says she gave the fruit to the man who was with her, so he may have not been too far away. And he convinces her that this fruit is amazing, it's pleasing to the eyes. What's he saying? This is so pleasing, you need to please yourself. Then he says, this will make you wise. And she says, when she saw that it was to be desired. So he is in effect saying, you need to please yourself. God is just trying to keep this from you. You need to fulfill your desires. God is just, you know, he's not going to give you enough. And she took the bait. She said, yeah, you're right. And in effect, Satan convinced Eve that pleasing herself and getting what she desired was more important than obeying God. And Satan's lies haven't changed a bit. He still tells people the same thing today. And the effects of disobeying God and pleasing yourself, following your own desires, will have the same result. In Psalm 119:21, it says this, "You rebuke the proud, the cursed, who stray from your commandments." Friends, the ultimate pride is to think we know more than God. The ultimate pride is to think we know better than him. And we live in a day and age when people think that God's word, oh, that's old-fashioned, we know better now. That is the ultimate pride. But I got some good news too. He's still the King of Kings. And he's still the Lord of Lords. Woo! And he has not grown weak. It says he doesn't get tired. He still has the power beyond all power. And we get to serve him. I know. We get to serve him. Proverbs 16:17-19 says this, "The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He who keeps his way preserves his soul." And the verse that many of us know, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud." Pride goes before destruction. If everything in your life is all about you, there's a good chance you're living in pride. We're commanded to be humble in God's word. Matthew 18, 2 to 3 says this. Jesus called a little child to him and set him in the midst of them. And he said, I say to you, unless you're converted and become as this little child, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Little children are humble. I have never met a proud little child. They just love life. They run around. Everything is cool. But you won't see a little child walk into a room and tell everybody, you better listen to me. I know. Now, some of them, a few years later, it doesn't take long if they're not raised well. Luke 14, 11 says, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. You will be lifted up. You're willing to humble yourself, God will lift you up, it says, in due time. James 4, 3 to 7, I'm not going to read it all tonight, but that in that portion is where it talks about if you ask, you'll receive. Let's read verse 4. It says, adulterers, don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? I say it again. If you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. Do you think the scripture has no meaning? They say that God is passionate, that the spirit he has placed within us should be faithful to him, and he gives grace generously. And the scripture said, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. If we choose to walk in pride, it's no wonder we lose. It's no wonder there's destruction, because it says God opposes you. Doesn't matter how many gifts you have, doesn't matter how wonderful you are, if you walk in pride, God will oppose you. Being humble is what he asks us to do. Verse 7 says, humble yourselves before God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come close to God, God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Let there be tears for what you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter and gloom instead of joy. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Do you see from the scripture we're reading that without humbling ourselves, we're not willing to turn from sin? Pride says, I don't need to change. Pride says, I already know it all. The very first thing necessary for your life to change, for things to change in your life, is to be humble enough to admit that you need to be changed. It's interesting, when I do a message on being transformed, if you don't think you need any change, this message will bore you to death. You'll be like, I don't need to change. Well, I shouldn't have come. I'm already wonderful. Yeah, that'd be pride. Be humble enough to admit, I need to change. I want to change. I want to be more like him. So it takes a humbling, and it takes putting pride aside to even be willing to move away from sin. The prodigal son became proud. He became arrogant in the sense of he knew better than his father. He knew better than everybody, and hey, I want my money now. I'm going to do it my way. That's pride. You know the story, God humbled him to the point where he was eating pig's food with the pigs and starving. And then it says, he came to his senses. In other words, he came to his senses and he was willing to be humble. Because before he knew it all, now he's saying, you know what? I think I'll go back and just be a servant at my father's house. He was humble. When he became humble, he was ready for his life to be changed. And he went home, and he was not a servant, he was still a son. And they had a party for him, put the ring on his finger, put a robe on him. You're willing to be humble, God will lift you up. But if you walk in pride and think, I don't need any change, I know. Unfortunately, well, you'll be humbled. 1 Peter 5, verse 6 says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. Letting go of pride and humbling ourselves to receive correction allows us to draw close to God, away from a sinful, ungodly lifestyle. We need to put pride aside. Someone who's proud is unwilling to be corrected. Someone who walks in pride will not receive correction. Often in those times when we didn't want to be corrected, it's because we were being proud. I can remember as a teenager going to school every day of the week and coming home and thinking, I think I know more than my mom and dad now, because I go to see, they went to school too to grade 12. I don't know. Anybody else been there? It happens. Put it away. God gives parents a wisdom, I believe, even by his Holy Spirit. They know more than you do. Because that's where God put, that's their role. So be willing to listen to a parent. Be willing to hear. Be humble enough to receive correction. Remember, God said in his word, he corrects or he rebukes and chastens those he loves. Those he loves. If you've never been corrected, then are you loved? Think about that for a minute. When's the last time you were corrected? Think about that right now. If you need to close your eyes, when was the last time you were corrected, and what was the situation like? So just think about it. It could be a boss. It could be a spouse. It could just be your brother or your sister. You were corrected, and how did the situation feel? Okay, if you got really mad, you said, don't tell me nothing or whatever, you did that, there's some pride there that needs to be dealt with. Okay? If you were like, oh, kind of hurt a bit, but I am glad they said it and didn't just, you know, say nothing. If that's the case, you're probably a little bit humble. You can handle a little bit of correction. And then you think about it and yeah, I could do it different. And if you actually went and thanked them for the correction, you're definitely being okay with being humble. But if you got upset and angry, there's some pride there. Somebody who's correcting you, that loves you, you want it more. I'm not talking about somebody criticizing you or trying to find fault so that they can smack you around. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking somebody correcting because they care about you and they want to see you go further. That's a big difference. Because maybe in your life you had someone who just didn't like you and just wanted to rough you up. That's different. But I'm talking about somebody who cares about you. And you know what? The people who care about you the most are your parents. All right. Luke 18, verse 10. It says, two men went to the temple to pray. The one was a Pharisee and the other was a despised tax collector. This is Jesus telling a parable. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer. I thank you, God, that I am not like other people, cheaters and sinners and adulterers. I'm certainly not like that tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give you a tenth of my income. I'm nearly perfect. He didn't say that, but that's what he meant. But the tax collector stood at a distance and dared not even lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed. Instead, he beat his chest in sorrow, saying, God, be merciful to me, for I'm a sinner. I tell you, this sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. The one readily admitted, I've messed up. The other thought he could do no wrong. There's a picture of pride and being humble. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. This is my last scripture tonight. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. We've read this verse. Maybe you've read it many times. Did you ever notice the order of what takes place? If my people who are called by my name, how does it start? Will humble themselves. Then pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. Did you know you need to humble yourself to pray and call out to God? You need to humble yourself to seek his face. You need to humble yourself to admit you're doing something wrong and turn from it. Pride won't let you do those things. Pride will fight. Don't tell me anything. But humble yourself. And God says, when you do that, I'm going to hear from heaven. I'm going to forgive your sin, and I'm going to heal your land. When God heals your land or what belongs to you, he makes it whole. He makes it prosperous. He puts his favor on it. He changes it. I'm going to close with this. I'm going to give you the ABCs of transformation. Okay, this is for transformation. Yeah, I do see transformation's important. Maybe you're saying that. Well, how do I really step into being transformed even more than what's already happened? Listen to this. A, the first thing you need to do for transformation, get rid of pride, humble yourself, and admit you need transformation in the first place. Reject pride. Admit you need some transformation. Then understand that transformation is made possible through Christ, and it begins, according to Scripture, with renewing our mind. You really want to be transformed, you're going to have to renew your mind. This is interesting. I'm not talking about a miracle or a healing or a being set free from a spirit or something. I'm talking about being transformed, like Christ said, like he said in his word, starts with renewing your mind. So, first the pride goes, okay, yeah, I could use some change. Then you realize I need to have my mind transformed, and it's going to happen because Christ made it possible. And then we know that the best way to renew our mind is to read and listen to God's word until it becomes real to you. You need to read it, you need to listen to it until it's real. If you don't like reading, then listen to it. It's got to become real to you. And I'd like to say this, find verses that are specific to the transformation you're desiring. So when I say read the Bible, listen to it, if you decide you're going to read the entire book of Leviticus or Lamentations, but it's not really specific to the transformation you want, you're probably going to tire out before you get there. So nowadays, obviously, you can go online and you can look up verses on specific things and you'll find it. You can just say in verses on whatever it is that you're desiring transformation, there'll be verses there. Okay? Read them, listen to them. Also, read and listen to stories of how Jesus has transformed others until it becomes real to you. Find stories that are specific to the transformation you're desiring. So if the transformation you're desiring in your life is, I'm just going to randomly pick something you're struggling with, you want to steal, well then find stories and scriptures about people who have gotten free from stealing. Be specific. Okay? It could be anything, but I'm just using that as an example. Speak God's word out loud over your life until it becomes real to you. Speak and declare specific verses that relate to the transformation you want. I don't know what you want. What kind of transformation do you want? It's funny. I said that and this came to my mind. What if somebody's wanting transformation? They want to be better looking. This just popped in my head. They want to be better looking. They want to be more handsome or more beautiful. And it popped in my head. And you know what? It's like that popped in my head. The question the Lord answered it. There's verses for that. The Lord speaks to my thoughts, and I heard that. And he said, yeah. They need to read the verse that says, they're created in the image of God. They needed to read the verse that says, when I created them, I said, it's very good. In other words, you get those verses, you'll realize you are beautiful. You are handsome. Because if you're thinking you need to be more beautiful or more handsome, you think you're ugly. And God's word will fix that for you. Because he made you perfect. God is amazing. He made you perfect. And when he looks at you, he says, you are good looking. I made you just right. And finally, receive prayer and ask the Holy Spirit to move in your life where you need transformation the most. Don't be afraid to ask for prayer. Don't be afraid to ask the Holy Spirit to do what needs to be done supernaturally. When you've done all those things, then there's just one last thing you need to do. You need to begin acting and walking in a new, transformed way. Don't walk the way you used to walk. Don't talk the way you used to talk. Don't go the places you used to go. You begin. If you've done what I just said, then you begin walking it. And I can guarantee you, your life will be transformed.